slide too.
Glad you're here this morning. We, as you just saw, we're thinking about our future. We're thinking about we as a congregation, where we want to go and how we want to get there. And so I do hope that you'll be marking 3 weeks from today, three weeks from this Sunday morning from today. We'll have what we're calling a Vision Sunday. We're going to give emphasis to a direction and a purpose that we believe is founded in Scripture, as the elders and the staff and ministry leaders have been thinking about, indeed, our future and where we as a congregation want to go and how we can get there as members, every individual member of this congregation. And so you'll be hearing a word from myself and from the elders on that Sunday, and we do think that you'll be very encouraged and inspired about what we believe God has given us in His Word, the future direction, how He wants us to go. So we're going to have that on Vision Sunday. That's going to be an exciting thing. We have a great past here at Crosstown, but I believe our best days are ahead of us. But it's going to take boldness. It's going to take purpose and mission in what we're wanting to do if we indeed are going to see those great days in the future. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here this morning. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture from Matthew 15. If you have your Bibles, our members know, let's hold up our Bibles. We want to hear God's Word this morning. All right. We got a few that need to get Bibles, maybe. We're kind of down on a few there. But Matthew chapter 15. We're going to be looking at one of the more interesting episodes, a story in the New Testament. It's a very, very interesting story. Right after Jesus has been preaching and teaching, he has had some recent confrontation with the religious leaders. And so things are getting a little hot and heated. And so Jesus is going to depart from where he's at. He's going to go over into the northwest region near Tyre and Sidon. The text tells us, Matthew 15 and verse 21. We don't know why he's leaving. Maybe it was just too much heat going on with the religious leaders. Maybe he was trying to get away from the crowds. But he's going to go over into Gentile territory. It's one of the few times we actually have Jesus leaving the land of the Jews and going into the land of the Gentiles. And here he's going to encounter, Matthew tells us, he encounters, verse 22, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him. A Canaanite. Now, you read your Old Testaments, the Canaanites are everywhere. Of course, the people that God had the Israelites drive out from the land because of their vile wickedness, the land that God was going to give the children of Abraham. And so you read about Canaanites. You get over into the Judges and Joshua and over into the Kings, and the Canaanites are there. We don't really read so much about the Canaanites in the New Testament. We're not sure exactly why Matthew tells us she's a Canaanite, but we can know this. There is a lot of deep animosity between the Jews and her people. There's a lot of distance between her and the Jews in their religion and in their culture. And so Jesus here encounters this Canaanite woman. And the text tells us there in verse 22 that she came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." She cries out to him. The verb there that's used, she began to cry out. And it carries the verb tense, carries ongoing action. This was not just, she didn't just say one time, kind of cry, yell out from the crowd, "Son of David, have mercy on my daughter." And then that was it. And then she kind of ducks back into the crowd. No. She continues to cry out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on my daughter. Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on my daughter." She's continuing to cry out here. And of course, we would expect Jesus, the Savior, we would expect Him with His deep compassion, His perfect love, that He would look upon this woman and her life and with her daughter. And of course, he would be moved to do something for her in this situation. But that's not exactly what he does initially. Matter of fact, as she repeatedly begs, look at verse 23 in Jesus' response. This is where the story is kind of troubling even for some initially. Jesus did not answer a word. I don't know about you, but sometimes stone-cold silence here that Jesus gives her, sometimes that is just as hurtful as someone speaking a harsh, unkind word. I mean, when somebody just ignores us. And that's what Jesus does initially here, that she comes to him begging and pleading for him, and he won't even look at her. He just completely ignores her and her pain and her desperation here, her agony. And then in verse 23, when he does get around, it says, actually, "So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.'" Now, they don't have an ounce of compassion for this woman. She's just a nuisance to them. You ever been around some situation like that where someone is just pestering, bothering you? I mean, you'll do anything, just whatever they want, just get them out of here. parents might feel that way sometimes with their children. You know, just get them, what do you want here? We're trying to relax and rest and just, okay, fine, you know. The apostles, the disciples, they don't have any ounce of sympathy for this woman. She's just a nuisance. She's bothering them. And so they say here, you know, Jesus, send her away here. And now we think Jesus, now he's going to do what we expect, what we know he'll do, right? Now he's going to just pour compassion and mercy on her and her daughter. And that's not exactly what we find next. There in verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the idea here is he's not even speaking to her still. He's kind of talking to his disciples. She's kind of standing over here, and he's just kind of, you know, speaking about her to his disciples. And you talk about something that'll also make you upset is when someone is ignoring you and then they start talking to somebody else about you. Now that bothers us, right? You know? And you know, this woman here, it's incredible. What we see, of course, is the faith that starts to come through here. And of course, what Jesus says in verse 24 is he is acknowledging that God had a plan for working out salvation for all the world. That plan would begin with the Jews first. You know, God made a promise to Abraham, and God promised Abraham that he would bless all people of the earth through his descendants. The Messiah would come through the Jewish people, and they're going to be the ones who kind of get the first crack at it. They're going to be the ones that are going to get to see and experience it first. We often think about in the New Testament later on, Paul and to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. And that's here, that's the Old Testament. You see this over in the Limited Commission in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 70, and he tells them, "Do not go among the Gentiles or even enter the town of the Samaritans." There in Matthew 10, verse 5. In verse 6, salvation was going to start with Israel. It was going to start with the Jews. And then we know it would eventually spread out to Samaria and throughout the whole world, as we read into the book of Acts as well. So Jesus is talking about a theological reality here. But this woman, she doesn't know theology. She doesn't understand all of that. And I'm telling you, you know, we put ourselves in her place. At this point, a lot of us would have quit. We've been ignored. We've been met with stone-cold silence. And then he begins to talk about her situation and about her, but he's not even really talking to her. He's talking to the disciples. I think at that point, I would have got the hint, probably. At least in my mind, I would have thought, this person doesn't want to talk to me. This person doesn't want to deal with me. Let's just pack it up. Let's just do what we can to take care of my daughter that's suffering, to make her comfortable. Let's go home. This woman doesn't have that kind of faith. She doesn't have the faith that I might have if I were to find myself in this situation here. Notice she has a response here. Notice what she says beginning in verse 25. Or she's going to continue. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me." So she continues to plead with him. And then verse 26 is really troubling for a lot of folks. When he finally does say something, initially when we read it and we see this and we hear it, we think, that can't be right. That can't be coming from our Lord's mouth. He says there in verse 26, he says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And we think, he didn't just call her. He didn't just say that, did he? Well, a couple of things here. You know, one thing might soften the blow a little bit. I think you can make this too much of a deal of this, but I do think there were a couple of different words there that they could use for dogs. One of the words, and it's the word that Jesus is going to use here, is more of a domesticated, we would say a pet. That, you know, you've got dogs. Some of you got dogs, cats, right? You got pets. And, you know, they kind of live in your house and they maybe sleep in your bed and sit in your lap in your recliner. And there might even be some people here at Crosstown that you drive around town and you've got your dog sitting in your lap or your pet. Surely no one here would do that. Oh, I'm sure there's some. I mean, they're kind of like your own family. And so Jesus uses a very much a domestic scene here where you would have a pet, a family around the table and children enjoying a common meal here that that you find here. And his statement, again, is a reminder of Israel's privileged position, too. He came to the house of Israel first. And so the children would be the children of Israel. The pet would be the rest of humanity. And so he's kind of backing that language up here with the language here, that kind of theological reality. And again, I'm telling you, she doesn't know theology. I would have been long gone out of, if you'd been ignored, then you've been talked about kind of when he's not even talking to you. And now finally he says something and it can seem very harsh and maybe even despairingly we would think about it. But Jesus, we know, is not doing that. He's speaking this reality here. And then notice what she says. I mean, she just won't give up. Notice she agrees with him. Yes, it is, Lord. She says it's not right to give food to animals that need to go to children. I mean, we all love our pets. We all feed our pets. We spoil our pets. But you would never neglect children for pets. That's shame on a person if they do that. You take care of the children first. And she acknowledges that here. She acknowledges that reality when she says, no, of course not. You never neglect children for pets. And then notice what she says in verse 28, or verse 27 there. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I mean, that is brilliant what she says. That's absolutely right. That if the pets eat the crumbs that are going to fall on the table, you're not neglecting the children. Just give me the crumbs that fall from the table. I mean, what a stroke of genius, this woman here, in what she says. And, of course, we continue there. Verse 28 is our key verse. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed that very moment. I mean, it's one of the most interesting passages here in the life of Jesus. One, again, that could be even misunderstood if we're not careful. And I think we focus in on here the point. There's really one major point here. It's really a one major point sermon this morning, okay? I'm going to try to keep it real simple this morning. Yes, Jesus is demonstrating, and as his miracles do, that he has authority over disease and even the demonic, as this woman's daughter has this evil spirit. But the focus is this: your faith is great. That's what we need to understand. We need to understand what great faith looks like. And so here's the key this morning. This is the major point here that we'll just focus on for just a few moments. Here is the key to great faith from this story. Great faith never, ever, ever, ever lets go of Jesus. Great faith never lets go of Jesus. This woman clings to Jesus. I mean, he can't shake her. He's not intentionally trying to, I believe, but from that standpoint, they can't shake her. They can't derail her. They can't discourage her. We know the disciples are saying, just get rid of her, Lord. I mean, just heal her and get rid of her. She's a nuisance. She can't be talked down to, and Jesus is not talking down to her, but if that's how some people want to even look at that, you know, you don't neglect the children for the dogs. Well, just give me some of the crumbs that fall from the table, and you're not neglecting the children. She has incredible great faith. And the key is she refuses to let go of Jesus. Great faith this morning never, ever, ever lets go of Jesus. Never. She had no one else that she could turn to. There was no one else that could handle her situation. We don't know exactly how she came to have this great faith, maybe through the stories as the word spread about what Jesus was doing. Maybe someone shared with her personally a little bit about what they had seen and what they had heard about Jesus. We don't know exactly the circumstances. You know, Jesus saw in his ministry, he saw a lot of superficial faith at times. You know, when you get over in John's gospel, when Jesus is healing the crowds and he is feeding particularly the 5,000, in John's gospel, Jesus is going to get frustrated because he realizes and he knows that they're just coming out not to hear his teaching, but they want to be fed. They want another miracle. And Jesus, you remember in John's gospel there, begins to teach them very strongly about following him. John tells us there, many followed him no more, turned their back and followed him no more. Remember on that occasion, John 6 and verse 66, Peter comes to him. Peter's there and Jesus turns to Peter and the apostles and almost is he discouraged and says, are you going to go too? And old Peter speaks up and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. That's John's version of the good confession. Who shall we go to? We have no one else to cling to, is what he's saying. You are everything. You have the words of eternal life. That's the key to great faith. Barriers. Yes, Jesus, I believe, is not trying to deter her. He's not trying to prevent her. He's not trying to stop her. Jesus is not unmoved about her situation. But Jesus, by doing what he does, is drawing out her faith, is making it even stronger. That whatever obstacles she faces, whatever barriers come her way, she's not going to let go of Jesus. She's not going to lose sight of her Savior. And Jesus recognizes that as the purpose here. Your faith is great in spite of these barriers, in spite of these obstacles. You see, when we come through, it deepens our faith. When we face barriers and obstacles, when we do that and we face barriers and obstacles and we come out of that, it makes our faith stronger. It makes our faith deeper and richer. Now, I don't know what barriers some of you may be going and facing this morning, but I promise you there's some barriers in some people's lives here this morning. There's some challenges. There's some obstacles in your life. I don't know what they all involve. Some of it might involve financial. Some of it may involve health barriers and crisis of faith involving health. Some of it might involve in your families. Some of it might involve your children. Some of it might involve your spiritual walk. I mean, it just seems like barrier after barrier, obstacle after obstacle seems to be getting in your way of your faith being strong and your belief in God being what it should be. I don't know what the barriers are in your life, but I do know this: great faith never lets go of Jesus. This woman's faith is growing, and we all have barriers to overcome. I don't believe the Lord gives us the bad stuff. We live in a fallen world. This world is not as God intended it to be. You need to know that this morning. When you look at this world with its pain and its suffering and all that's in this world that's bad, this is not as the Lord intended. We live in a fallen, broken world. But here's the good news. God, even in that brokenness, God, even in the midst of all that, can do something great. And God can build our faith. God can make good come out of bad. Romans 8, 28. We know that he didn't say all things are going to be good. He says all things for the Christian. We know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to God, according to His purpose. God can cause all things to work for good. And that's what we find here in this example. Yes, she faced a barrier. Yes, she faced these obstacles. But God wants us to have the kind of faith that has depth. That whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever the heartache, whatever the barrier, whatever the disappointment, we need to respond in faith. This is how great faith responds. Great faith holds on to Jesus. It clings to our Lord. And I think about the verse in Matthew chapter 7. We have a song that we sing about this. And I think about this Canaanite woman. When I think about this passage here, as we're thinking this morning, you know this familiar verse. Again, we sing song. We have song we sing even about it. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. And just like I mentioned earlier, the verb tense of these verbs, they matter in the original language. It's ongoing action. The idea is it's continuous action. So Jesus is saying, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. You see, the persistent, no matter the barriers, no matter the obstacles, no matter the things that come in our way, we keep asking, we keep searching, we keep seeking. And that's what this Canaanite woman is doing. She's continuing to ask. She's continuing to seek. She won't be derailed. She won't give up. And Jesus tells us, the door will be opened. God will not ignore us. And He'll deepen our faith. No, He won't always remove the problem necessarily. He won't take away the burden every time. I got a thing in the bulletin. It's a follow-up from last week's bulletin article. Because I grew up hearing that all of my life, that God won't put more on us than we can bear. God won't allow us to... Let me tell you something. There are plenty of things that are too heavy for us to bear. We don't get that idea from Scripture. The Scripture's filled with examples of people who had too much to bear by themselves. It was too great. It was too heavy. And the Scripture's response is, go to the one who can give you help. That's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. We know that God is faithful and will not allow any temptation to come upon us greater than we can bear. He will give us the help. Without God's help this morning, there are barriers, there are burdens that are too heavy for you to bear alone. And you just look at our world where people are trying to go it alone without God, and it's crushing them. People are being crushed and defeated without God. And here's what this woman does. But I think about what it says here, that seek and you'll find. And that's exactly what this woman is doing. She is pouncing on the door. And she's not going to give up until it's opened. That's the key to great faith. I like how one preacher described this here. The Lord surrendered to the faith of this woman. He surrendered to the faith of this woman. And He acknowledges it as He is drawing that faith out and pronounces, what great faith you do have. What great faith you do have. That's the key for us this morning. There's going to be barriers. There's going to be obstacles in your life. The Lord's not even going to remove every one of them. He's not going to take away everything that's hurtful and bad in our life. But if we stay faithful to Jesus, if we tenaciously wrap our arms around Jesus and we refuse to let go, we'll come out. We'll come out victoriously. He'll help us deal with that by His grace and mercy, whatever we face. I think about what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 when he says he's pressing on. And he says that he's pressing on, he's reaching forward, and he makes reference to when Christ grabbed hold of him. When Christ laid hold of him. And when you look at Paul's life, when he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus and he eventually was converted and became a Christian, he did not ever let go of Jesus. He did not let go. And Paul's faith, as we think about, was indeed a great faith because he refused to let go of Jesus. That's the key this morning, is to grab hold of Jesus. What are you grabbing hold of this morning? You've got a hold of something in your life that you're trying to find strength in and find hope in. And I'm telling you, unless ultimately it is the Lord God and His Son Jesus Christ, you're going to be let down. Someone says, no, I've got a good friend. I've got a good family member. I've got a good loved one. Oh, they can be such a great help. But they'll even let us down. They can even pass away. They can even be removed from our life. I mean, we put your faith and confidence and hope ultimately in God. And don't let go. Don't let go of His Son, Jesus. Have you done that this morning? Have you grabbed hold of Jesus? Have you come to Jesus in obedience to the gospel? In your faith and in your repentance and in the waters of Christian baptism, putting Christ on, rising up to walk in newness of life, growing in the beauty and the image of Jesus Christ, where your faith is being made strong as you develop your faith, as you grow, and as you face adversities, as you cling to Jesus more in your life, your faith will be boldened, your faith will be enriched. Maybe you've done that as a Christian, but you've let go. Maybe the barriers, the obstacles have weighed you down as a Christian. Maybe sin has gotten a hold of you. And you need to come to Jesus again. You need to come back to Him and grab hold of Him. Once again, His grace, His mercy. If we can help you in any way, come as we sing the song.
While we pray.